Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and some of us have just returned recently from ASI Las Vegas, a great show last week.
Yeah.
I know Andy Cohn was there in all of his
there.
Glory.
Oh, yes, all of my glory.
And you can see all his glory on ASICentral.com.
Yes, there's okay. Lots of glory.
Not all of my glory, but some.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Joe Haley was there. Joe, how many videos did we take at the show?
19.
19 videos.
19 different videos, yes.
You can see them all on ASICentral.com,
or you can go to YouTube.com/ASICentral and see not only our show videos, but all the videos we produce here.
They'll also be recapped in Promogram today.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. Good job. Kathy Houston, you were not in Vegas. What happened?
I was holding down the fort.
She missed her flight.
I guess someone had to do that.
Yes, I missed my flight. Yes.
Well, welcome. And I know you're very sad today because you're about to drain your pool for the summer.
Yeah.
Is today the first day of fall?
Yes.
Yeah, it's later today.
Happy first day of fall.
I believe it's at 5:18.
Yeah, okay. That's not fall.
The autumnal equinox.
Yes.
Michelle Bell is here. Michelle, you were missed in Las Vegas, and you've got a Band-Aid on your finger. What's that all about?
A boy bit my finger.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
At a
I'm
bar.
Guessing that happened in Avalon at your summer shore house.
It didn't. It happened in Media, Pennsylvania. I was putting a lime in his mouth and he bit down and bit my finger.
And I hope it's a boy you knew.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Are you up to date on all your shots?
I am indeed.
I'm glad to hear that.
Hopefully
Steve Hawk is back with us. He's married now. So is that your married name, Steve Hawk? All
Steve
right.
Crystal Hawk.
I hope it was a good wedding. Mazel tov to Steve Hawk.
L'chaim.
And we have Samantha here. Samantha is, she came to Vegas and was referred to as a, what was it?
Vision of nerdy beautiness.
Version of nerdy
version?
Beautiness.
Version? A version.
Vision.
Well, vision.
It was also a vision.
Uh-huh. Mm. Anyway, she, I guess, had lots of fans at our counselor hot party. So welcome,
yes.
Samantha.
And why wouldn't she?
We are not taking calls today, but we are taking emails instead. How about that? The phones, I guess, are down. Please email us at radio@asicentral.com. Anytime during the show today, we're specifically interested in questions you might have about self-promotions and how they could be better. And as always, even though you're emailing, if you contact us and we put your question on the air, we will send you a $25 Starbucks gift card. And with that, I send you to Joe Haley.
All right, Melinda, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, except for the show recap we have for you today. Send us an email to radio@asicentral.com with your award-winning self-promo ideas or self-promo questions. As usual, if we put you on the air, you'll score a $25 Starbucks gift card. You okay, Andy?
Yeah, why are you laughing?
I'm okay. I'm just laughing.
Are you laughing at me or Joe?
Joe.
Me.
Okay, good.
Kathy has survival tips for one-person businesses. The good captain, that would be Andy, will share results from an Amex survey of small business owners' view of the economy.
I thought I was the bad captain.
No, you're the good captain.
Captain Killjoy.
Oh,
actually.
Okay.
Our own Ray of Sunshine has a look at how positive employee engagement can increase your profits.
Is that me?
That's Michelle.
Lady in black.
You want pen trends? I got your pen trends right here. And I spelled it W-R-I-T-E. Isn't that clever
so
of me?
Funny.
Thank you. Michelle has quick, effective tips that will help
in
you save money
in your own notes
now.
That nobody would see?
I did. Look at that, Andy, right there.
He amuses himself.
Kathy's so. Going to tell you about the one selling habit women should avoid. Want to learn how to build and maintain a new business pipeline? Stay tuned as Andy has the blueprint. Will a real Slim Shady please stand up? Kathy has tips on how to deal with shady coworkers.
Yeah,
Andy
I know.
Almost stood up there. Michelle will offer up quick tips on how to size people up. If we have time, I got a rant. But first, we'll do the industry news with Andy.
Go, Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. The Physician Payment Sunshine Act is back in the news. Senator Max Baucus, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, introduced a new health care bill last week with the Physician Payment Sunshine Act folded into it. This would limit the debate on the hotly contested bill, which if passed would force medical companies to publicly report their gifts and payments to doctors, as the Senate and House focus on larger aspects of the health care bill. Follow Councilor Promogram later today for more information. The Small Business Administration has agreed to modify a restriction it had placed on loans used to finance acquisitions of small companies. The SBA endured a backlash in March after it capped the amount of goodwill financing that would be guaranteed within its loans. It has now shifted positions and greatly expanded the amount that could be guaranteed in new loans for acquisitions. The changes go into effect October 1. Supplier M2 Enterprises announced last week a new partnership with Sakar International, a consumer electronics manufacturer. M2 can now sell the Vivitar, Datex, and Lingo brand products in addition to the Igloo, Weber, and Samsonite brands that M2 has already been selling. Plus, check out Promogram later today for a full video recap of last week's ASI Holiday and Incentives Expo in Las Vegas.
Thanks, Andy. And speaking of the Incentives Expo last week, I thought there were a lot of educational courses that talked about some great opportunities in the incentive industry, too, taught by our very own Andy Cohn. Andy, the incentives industry, it's a big opportunity for distributors.
Does that mean I have to talk again? Sorry.
You do.
I'm losing my voice here.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
No, okay.
It's a $46 billion market, incentives.
Yeah.
What are some areas that you talked about or heard about last week that distributors really should be capitalizing on?
Well, some of the main ones that were in my session that we discussed were some of the traditional incentive programs that distributors can get in on. Things like sales incentives, safety incentive programs, those are big, customer service programs, consumer promotions and consumer incentives. Those are ones that distributors, I think, often shy away from, but they're certainly out there to be had. And all other types of programs as well, like recognition programs. That's probably the fastest growing area of the incentive market, recognition and retention efforts. So the key really that I talked to distributors about was to ask questions of your current contacts. You know, you have contacts at every company you work with, you have contacts already. So ask them what they're doing for their sales incentive program or what they're doing to retain their employees. They have efforts in place, and you almost just need to sort of break down that barrier a little bit to find out what they're doing.
Sure. Well, you know, we also had an incentive panel during a keynote on this topic. And, Kath, one of the things that they talked about was the emergence of a lot more wellness programs. I know you've written that, but
yeah, definitely.
Advantages. But one good thing about wellness programs is, you know, most companies get like a, what was it, 3.5 to 1 return on their dollar for wellness programs and savings. So that seems like a really powerful number that distributors can use to sell clients on those types of programs. So there you have it. It's the ASI Holiday and Incentive Show last week in Vegas.
What was your favorite moment from the show?
You know, my favorite moment was the photo shoot we did. We were out on the strip in front of Treasure Island doing a photo shoot with some of the counselor hot list people. And we had them in clothes from, was it Vantage Apparel?
Yeah, it was t-shirts. It was graphic t-shirts decorated in different ways so that we could show the different types of decoration that one can put onto tees.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we had about
the background
seven or
eight was
people.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great because some of the shoots we did in front of the pirate show at Treasure Island while it was actually going on. So that was really good. And then it became dark and we did a whole bunch of shots on the strip. And those are going to be in the January apparel issue of Counselor.
Yeah.
Is that right?
My favorite part of that shoot was because it was during the pirate show, there was all sorts of other people who were watching the show, but also watching our little
people.
Shoot.
Right.
And so they just, because there was this big photo shoot going on, they thought that these people were somehow famous.
Well, they are.
In our world. They started taking pictures of them.
Oh, that's funny.
It was, yeah.
It was very funny.
That was a trip. Joe, what was your favorite part of the show?
Well, I was able to sit and record David Blaze singing promo number 5.
Oh, I saw that video.
Very funny.
That's great.
That
was
that's,
so much
I think
fun.
We put that up on our site, right?
Yeah.
ASI
yes.
Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone should check that out.
It
yeah,
has
at the
a lot
end
of
Education Day, he has this new song, Promo Number 5. I guess it's Mambo Number 5.
Right.
To the tune of that. And he has everybody in the audience.
Very funny.
Getting up and singing and dancing. Michelle, I know you would have been on your feet had you been there.
Listen, my favorite moment, because I did watch the videos, was when Cliff Quicksell called himself a tool.
That's true.
Did you guys see that?
I didn't see that part.
Well just hilarious. A shout out to Cliff and David. They did a great job with the education. I mean, they had packed classes, over 200 attendees.
Do.
Yeah, and they were engaged. They were just, you know, sitting there. No one got up and left. So, I mean, there
was
a
lot of
great
we had,
stuff.
It was a different kind of education day in Vegas. It was just one track, the distributor success track, which we've had all of our shows, but that was the only track offered that day, and it was packed. I mean, we had actually more than 400 distributors attend sessions that day.
That's great.
So that was a good thing. Yeah. And we'll be having that session again in Orlando.
When I was talking to people at the Welcome to Vegas reception, which was right after the first day of the exhibits being opened, a lot of them who went to it just raved about it. And those people who missed it were sorry that they did because they had talked to other attendees. And they said they were trying to get to another show to make sure that they're able to attend these classes.
Well, we will be featuring it at all of our shows in 2010. All right, let's talk about award-winning self-promos. Michelle's our self-promo queen.
I do. I love self-promotions.
Have we, are, it looks like the messages, emails are rolling in from
distributors. Well, first, today I'm going to put up on our website, I'm going to put up three different self-promotions, taking the tact of three different categories. One to gain new sales, one to gain to get new prospects, and one looking to kind of as a way to laud current employees.
And these are case studies that you put
case
together?
Case studies, and each one of them had double-digit return on investment. Ooh, so I'm going to put those on our website, which is asicentral.com/radio. But we do have some questions already for you guys.
Okay.
The first one is from Scott at Awesome Ad Specialties, and he would like to know how often we think he should do self-promotions.
Quarterly.
Yeah, I would say at least quarterly, you know, if not bi-monthly, but quarterly seems
Yeah, and the thing about self-promotions is you don't just do a one-off, right? I mean, it should be part of a more integrated campaign. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of the ones you've featured over the years, Michelle, in your magazine have had an approach, you know, maybe four or five different times all with the same thing.
They do. And also, I think some of the most successful ones are multi-tiered.
Right.
You know, they send them out in different waves almost. Mm-hmm. I know PromoShop is really great at doing that, and they get a phenomenal response. Okay, Joe, I'm going to throw this one to you. Sharon from Creative Custom Marketing would like to know, what are some of the most important steps to take when doing self-promos?
Well, make sure you use promotional products that are logoed with your information on it.
I would say the follow-up. I think that a lot of people drop the ball when it comes to the follow-up.
They just think they can send it out.
They send
and
it
the
out
calls
and they don't track
pouring it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
yeah, they're
right.
Both obviously the two vital steps.
Well, I didn't get a chance to finish. I would say, you know.
Let's
creative packaging. I mean, you can put it in tubes. You can actually mail a T-shirt sent inside of water bottle, mm-hmm. a sports bottle. So, you know, there's
a coconut.
So be creative with your packaging. Also, make sure there's a call to action in the piece. You know,
that's a really good point. A lot of people forget.
Put some contact information on there.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's a website, email address, or even your phone number. Yeah. The people forget, they just put a logo on it or forget to put some sort of contact information.
You know, and then, of course, there is the follow-up. But the important thing is, you know, really using the promotional products because, you know, this is what you do for a living. You want to show your clients or your potential clients that you have faith in the medium as well.
You know, as far as the follow-up, one distributor that we talked to for an article in Advantages said that she sends a handwritten note with her self-promotion, and she says, I'll call you next week on Wednesday at 9:39 a.m. Some, like,
off-peak really time. Says, like, 9:39?
And she really says, like, 9:39 mm-hmm. or 10:46 or what, something offbeat. So that actually grabs her attention, too, besides the promotional products.
I hope
and then she
really
actually
calls at 9:39.
Right, she actually calls.
Yeah,
so that would be the linchpin.
Do what you say.
Right. Right.
And then over the years, what we found out is that a lot of times, like, the more creative the self-promotion, those will sell. That actual promotion will be used for the client. They'll say, I want to do the same thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We hear that all the time.
That's the goal.
We've got another message in from Lee, who is from Custom Impressions, Inc. It's two parts, so I'll tell the first part now. It says, I would like to know what, if anything, people tend to offer with the self-promos they hand out. In other words, do they attach a timed offer for the product that they give out? And if so, what seems to be most effective? Michelle, what do you see in terms of, I mean, do they say, you know, contact us within 30 days and you get X, or, I mean, have you seen successful?
Well, I think if the distributor is doing the self-promotion, the product that they're using isn't necessarily a product that they're promoting specifically. It's just like kind of a cool tie-in with the message. For example, if they're trying to get, they're trying to drive people to their website, they may use a mouse. You know, mm-hmm. like a clickable mouse to drive people to the website. Obviously, you know, they don't manufacture the mouse. They're just using it as a creative tie-in. If it's the supplier doing the self-promotion, I think that they're using, you know, their latest and greatest new products. But I think that the distributors, the smartest ones and the ones who do the most effective self-promotions, pick a product that definitely ties in with the message they're trying to get across. For mm-hmm. example, if we're trying to grow, we can grow your business. It's going to be a packet of flower seeds. Something
right,
like that.
Right. But I could see doing like a two-part promo, and I've seen that done before where, you know, you send someone a flip-flop or something,
mm-hmm.
and then you say if they call you with the next number of days or whatever you want them to do, then you'll send them the other flip-flop. Mm-hmm. Or I see that a lot for trade show promos, like, you know, here's part of a gift. Come see us at our booth at the trade show, and you'll get the other part. Or, you know, they'll send you a key, and then you can come and unlock something.
Sure, because you don't want to be passive about what you're doing. You want them to do something for what they're getting.
Right. I would say if you do have a timed offer, to use a promotional product with it as well.
Right.
You know, if it's a sale or, you know, a promotion that you're running for 30 days, incorporate a promotional product into your promo. You know, there's a lot of distributors forget the old adage of, you know, sort of practicing what you preach. You're selling promotional products and how they can help your clients in their marketing program. So you need to show that to them. So every marketing program that you have, it should include a promotional product element of some kind.
Absolutely. Lee had a second part to her question. It is, what is the typical percentage of their yearly marketing budget the distributors spend on soft promos? Have we gauged that at all, Michelle or Kathy?
I don't think we know that.
No, I don't know that.
No.
I don't believe so either. I mean, I can give you a guesstimate just because, you know,
I
just moderated a panel with some distributors when we were at the Chicago show. One of our friends from Promo Shop, he does about 6 self-promotion pieces a year, and he spends about $5,000 per piece. So,
okay.
So. With 30,000.
But you don't know what that is of their overall.
I think
don't.
We should do a poll on ASI Central.
I don't know what that is. We should put that up.
Right. Well, great question, Lee. And hopefully we'll get you some more answers.
That is a good question.
Yeah. It's not too late to email us with any questions you have about self-promos. The email address is radio@asicentral.com. Again, if we read your question on the air, we'll send you a $25 gift card. Michelle, did you have another question?
Nope.
Okay, great. Well, it's not, as I said, it's not too late to email us. We're going to pause now for a commercial from today's show sponsor, ESP. And when we return, Kathy's going to tell one-person businesses how they can survive.
The ASI Radio Show was sponsored in part by ESP, the industry's number one sourcing, marketing, and business management tool. Did you know virtual samples decrease the sales cycle by up to 50%? Learn more about ESP virtual samples at www.asicentral.com/store.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we are taking your calls to find out any self-promotion questions you have. I'm sorry, we're not taking your calls. We're taking your emails at radio@asicentral.com. Michelle, I wanted to mention, too, that you're going to be leading another one of your great workshops on self-promotions at ASI Orlando in January. So people should put that on their calendars. And also, Cliff Quicksell, who we mentioned earlier, is going to be doing a free lunch talking about self-promotion and marketing as well on Education Day in ASI Orlando.
Orlando.
Michelle is coming to Orlando, unless she's decided
not
to.
I think that's Joe's scared. I think that was actually terror.
Well, you know why? We did a hugely popular lunch for suppliers in Chicago, and it went so well. We want to do it again in Orlando. And Michelle, as the head of Supply of Global Resource, of course, is going to have
to
come.
She has to be there.
And represent, right, Michelle?
Is the crane going to be there again?
Which crane?
Oh, the forklift.
Excuse me.
Yeah, we're not going to have
that's
any
what
more
I
forklifts.
Know.
I actually have one more email question from Randy.
Okay.
Who would like to know, is there some place, I'm guessing Randy is a he can go either on ASI Central or in one of the magazines that will give him a step-by-step primer of how to do a self-promotion piece because he has never done one? I think we have to have that somewhere on ASI Central. One of us has had to do an article. You know what,
Randy?
You
know, we had a self-promo story in SOI.
State of the Industry.
In State of the Industry. If not this year, then last year. I know. One of the last couple of years. We'll find it and we'll put it on our
radio ASI
website.
We'll put it on ASI Radio site.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, Kathy, so you're a one-person business. How do you survive right now? It's tough out there.
Here are 7 solopreneur survival tips.
Solopreneur.
But these are
word.
Basically talking about people that work from home. They have their home business.
Which there are a lot in our industry, obviously.
Exactly.
Wouldn't
that be
homopreneur?
Excuse me? Homopreneur?
Homa.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Whatever.
Please, let's move on.
Anyway, the problem with people that work from home is that they feel the tug between personal and work environment.
Now, Kathy, you work at home on Mondays.
I do feel
that
tug.
Do you feel the tug?
Yes, I do. Like, I'll see the laundry and I'll see the dishes in the sink and I'll be like, they really should get done. But,
but
also, so should my work. But the thing is to create your to-do list, and you can schedule out some time to do those personal chores, like say like you take 15 minutes out of your lunch hour or whatever and you put the laundry in, but create your to-do list and stick to that to-do list. Also, turn off the phone, social media accounts, and email while you're focused on other tasks. Like if I'm writing or editing, I would turn off all my email and everything.
I don't know that people who are in the workplace do that, but go ahead.
That's
a great tip for everybody.
You know, slot out some time and stick to it.
I know Andy just can't get off Facebook.
That's true.
I know. Schedule time for personal chores and errands, as I already said, and don't restrict your workspace to your home office alone. Like if there's a bookstore, a library, or a local coffee shop, you can go with your laptop. It gives you a little socialization, and you feel like you're amongst people, you know? Just as you would if you worked in a corporation, let friends and relatives know that you're not available during times of the day. You have to let them know that you're involved in a real business. So don't bug you.
Yeah, that's a problem, you know? I think, for people.
Like, don't be asking you to take them to the grocery store or whatever at 1 p.m. Also, take breaks. Believe it or not, Andy, your brain is capable of focusing intently for only 2 hours.
Oh, trust me,
and then
I know.
It gets muddled. So take a break after 2 hours, all right? Promise
me. You got
me.
It.
Promise
right
me.
After the show, I'm done.
That's right.
Well, Andy, you work at home a few days a week, mm-hmm. too. Are these tips that you employ?
Do you get muddled?
I know, Andrew.
I don't get muddled.
Always worried about the laundry.
No.
Well, here's the way
but
I bet you get
I do have a son when he comes
though.
Home from school who can be a distraction,
but you have a wife who has a baking business out of your home.
Yeah, we are
so
both home at times.
Do the aroma of fresh baked, like, do you go and eat her profits?
That's when he takes his break, like he's supposed to.
I try
to.
Not to eat the profits as much as possible. No, it's
so you're not sampling the merchandise?
No, I'm not sampling the merchandise, so to speak.
No hanky-panky?
Well, he and his wife are home without the child during the day. I don't know. All right. Thank
wow,
you so much, Kathy.
We really do need to move on.
Okay. Andy, we're going to bug you again. There's a new Amex survey coming out about small business owners, and the news is sort of positive. Is that
right? This doesn't have anything to do with sampling the wares.
No, we're going to move on, unless you'd like to give us details.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah, baby.
Where were you with that sound a couple minutes ago? Come on, Steve, wake up. Well, a new survey from American Express Open Small Business. They have a twice yearly monitor of small businesses. And for the first time in 2 years, the majority of small business owners now actually have a positive view of the economic environment.
That's good. We need applause here, I think.
Steve, where's the applause?
Come on, Steve, wake up. Ever since he's gotten married, he's been
slacking.
Come on, Steve.
All slow right. at the trigger.
So 55% slow at the trigger. All
Let's
right.
move on, 55, please.
55% of small business executives have an optimistic outlook on near-term business prospects, and that number is actually up 10 percentage points from the last time that American Express did this survey, which was in March.
That's
and
good.
So there's a little bit of good news out there. Some of the
I see a turnaround.
You see a turnaround?
I do.
You're not the only one.
Well, she's Susie Sunshine.
And what are you?
Not
Sally
Polly.
Sunshine?
Yeah, not anymore.
Well, I think we've established now that all the happy people are on this side and all the curmudgeons are on
we
that
are
side.
The world.
And Steve is in the middle, so. Samantha's over there. We don't know what she's doing.
Anyway, businesses are seeing some positives out there. One interesting statistic that I found within the study is that among those companies that say that they have a positive outlook for growth, they say 44% say the reason is because of less competition. So
hey, that's all right.
There are some businesses that have gone out of business and helped these companies that are still hanging around.
Well, the strong will survive.
You bet.
Thank you, Andy. Michelle also has some news about positiveness, I guess.
Positiveness?
Positiveness.
Or positivity.
Positivity. Thank you.
Well, you know, most business managers agree that good employees have an impact on customer satisfaction. That's something we all know. But there's been a recent study where they broke down employees into three different categories. Let's see where we all fit, shall we? There's the engaged employee. Engaged employees provide higher levels of service quality and higher levels of productivity. Clearly not.
I'm
me.
Being
told. You're engaged.
Can you get
you
off
are.
Of the wire, please?
Yeah, not productive. They strive for recognition from coworkers and management, are highly competent, and accomplishment-oriented, and focus on the organization. This
That's
is the,
me.
This is sure. the best group of people you want because they're so invested in the organization that they go out of their way to build customer service and to go the extra mile for clients.
Yeah, that is you.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Then we have the disengaged. It's like Lance and Andy.
I am far from disengaged.
Oh, Andy's
you got to be kidding me.
Disengaged employees produce lower levels of service quality and lower levels of productivity. Their motivation is money. And they have selective competence and work for themselves. Actually, I don't think I would say that about anybody.
I don't think any of us are like that now.
This is obviously the group. While they do their job, they don't go the extra mile for clients. And in fact, alternatively, can put forth, you know, kind of a bad taste in clients' mouth about the organization because it comes across that all they care about is money.
Well, that's going to ruin your business. You got too many of those?
Yeah.
Forget it.
You know what's interesting, though, about this is, and this came up at the incentive panel, the keynote in Vegas, is that, you know, companies have a lot to do with employee engagement. And I think a lot of company executives right now are thinking, oh, my employees should just be happy to have a job and they're not doing anything in terms of recognition. And that's a bad.
That's bad move.
That's very bad. And, you know, as Karen Rank, head of the IMA, who was on the panel, said, you know, employees are paying attention and taking notes right now. And, you know, they may not jump ship right now. But, you know, things turn around 6 months and a year and more job opportunities open up. They're going to remember how they're treated.
Exactly.
No, a downtime right? is actually the time where you have to create loyalty. You have right. to work at creating loyalty because everything's not great around you.
Right.
So and, you have yeah. to ensure that employees are happy so that when good times come, like you said, they're not jumping
and
ship.
There's lots and lots of statistics out there right now that do show the connection between employee engagement and you know, productivity and absolutely. Things like that. So
the author of this study says if companies can move just 1% of their disengaged employees into the other category, into the engaged group, then they'll see improvements in their company culture and reduction in employee turnover and greater sales.
Yeah, just 1%. Serious implications for the bottom line for people. Well, thank you, Michelle. And counselor's pen issue, it's the long-awaited issue. Everyone anticipates
I've been dying
every year.
For
it's
it.
Coming out. Well, it's you only coming. Have to wait.
You got like a week
longer.
More.
It's coming out in October. But Joe
I
Haley's
could probably
gonna...
get you an advance copy, too.
Thank you, Andy.
He knows the editor. Joe Haley's going to give us some tips today, though, on how to improve your pen sales.
I thought I was talking about pen trends.
Joe, whatever. You talk about whatever you want to talk about.
All right.
It's your floor.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Yeah, there it is.
Pen trends. What do you think the number one pen trend is right now?
Eco.
Very good.
In
very good.
Yeah. I'm like,
suppliers are doing more with plastics made from plant
corn
material
plastic.
Like corn. So they're also using a higher concentration of recycled plastic in their pens. And some are going with a biodegradable pen that if you put it in the ground, supposedly after 60 days, 30 days, if you put it in compost teas, the only thing that will be left will be the spring. Mm-hmm. So eco-friendly pens, that's the biggest trend. Anything wow. else?
Antibacterial.
Inks.
Inks, very good. Improved ink formulas. They give you a smoother writing, not so blotchy.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
It
that's
makes
good.
It easier. And the other trend with the inks is inks that are helping or combating check washing. Mm-hmm. So you sign a check mm-hmm. or you write out a check. These inks will now absorb into the fibers of the check, and they'll be impossible to wash out with the caustic solutions that those people who do that are using. So
very good. What about antibacterial, like I said? That's up and coming.
That's up and coming as well. You can get markers with that. You can also get some pens with that as well.
Scented pens.
And Andy, what else can we look forward to in the big pen issue?
Well, we have some case studies about how distributors have sold pens into large promotional programs. So there's some advice there on how other distributors can do that as well.
And we do have pens at every price point, I believe, starting at, what,
we
like
do, like 60 cents
and going
straight
up to
through
like,
$26.
It's a great show. So
don't we
it's
also
really cool.
show a pen that's like $4,000 or something?
What?
No. Part of the pen case studies that I talked about, one of the case studies is a lawyer, who an end user, who made $43,000 from one pen that he bought for a promotion that he did.
Oh, well,
yeah,
that's a
pretty
compelling
cool. in-depth case
study
case
for
study.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle, you're going to give us just a couple quick tips that people can use to save money right now.
I am, and there's 100 of these, so we'll post them on the website. Certainly, I'm not going to read all 100, but every few months, comparison shop to see if you're paying too much for your telecommunication services, your internet, landline phones, your cable, all of that stuff. So comparison shop, and if you, as a new client to maybe a different carrier, they'll give you a better deal.
Okay.
So that's one. Always use rebates. So many mm-hmm. people don't do that. They don't take the time to send them in.
Rebate. Yeah,
if you're a
too.
Consumer, you don't take the time to send them in. If you're in the industry, a lot of people just kind of put it by the wayside because they don't want to take the time. But it really does add up. Here's the thing. Take people out to lunch instead of dinner because lunch menus are less expensive.
How about breakfast?
And people don't always drink at lunch, too.
Well, speak for yourself.
All right. Well,
or breakfast.
Not the present, not present company included.
That's a good one.
Also, try, and this is just a small cost, but everything adds up, try using your local library if you have a lot of magazine subscriptions mm-hmm. Or newspapers, or if you want to check out the new business books, use the library instead of going to a bookstore. And like I said, I'll put the rest of these online.
All 100 of them. Thank you very much, Michelle. Now we have just enough time for our favorite managing editor, Joe, to rant. Joe, what do you have to tell us today?
All right, so I'm in Vegas Airport last week looking for a bite to eat before boarding my flight home. And luckily, right at the end of the terminal is what appears to be a restaurant. There were tables, chairs, menus, and a bartender slopping drinks at a bar.
Slopping.
You know, nice. I was looking to get a hamburger. So we, that would be me and Stitches editor Nicole Rollander, sit down at a table and start looking at a very confusing menu. And
how
I'm doing air quotes.
Could it be?
There was no food on it. It was
It was sound like
there was
a
like
menu.
Three or four items. Yeah, I know. It looked like a menu. So we don't see a waiter or waitress, so I sidle up to the bar and ask the bartender if there is, in fact, wait service. He said he would be with me in a minute. Then I asked if there was food service. In an annoyed tone, he tells me that all the food he had was in a refrigerated case behind the bar. And he said it in a way as if I was supposed to know this. Sorry for asking, pal. I've run into people like this in the past. Once while on jury duty, I bought a sandwich at a deli in the courthouse, and I was chastised by the cash register for not telling him what he had.
By the
what
cash register chastised you?
He chastised me because I did not tell him what I had.
The actual
Why?
Machine?
I'm guessing the cashier. Sorry, you're interrupting the big
cashier,
finale.
Yes.
The Why? Big finale.
He was blind, so you had to tell him what you had, you know, ordered and what you were buying.
I
so
didn't see that coming.
Okay, yeah. I didn't see that coming either.
But how was I supposed
people?
Well, how was I supposed to know he was blind? It was my first time there. Didn't matter. He was rude
so
for me.
The point of this rant is?
Ha! My point. Customer service is always important.
Blind?
No matter. I didn't.
I mean, how'd you find out?
He told me.
Oh, okay.
My
oh
point.
Oh, my God.
Customer service is always important no matter who your customers are. And if they ask you a question that seems stupid and inane, smile and answer. Don't make them feel about 2 feet tall.
Or else you'll get on the next Joe there you have show rank. So you felt 2 feet tall instead of your normal 4
Three
and a half.
Feet.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe.
Oh, you're welcome, Melinda.
Then we are out of time today. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks for today's show sponsor, ESP Online. Be sure to tune in next week, when we will learn the one selling habit women should avoid. Have a great week, everyone.